The Bible reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. It can be found in your Bibles on page 855. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Folks, do keep that open, if you have it open there in your pew Bibles. Thanks, guys. Let's just say a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we begin a new series this morning, as we think on this theme of visitations, we would ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, would visit us now, that you would come close to us as we desire to come close to you. And Father, just as the old hymn says, that we pray that Jesus would be born in us today. So Father, before we go out on this visitation of our community, we pray that we would have experienced the visitation of the Holy Spirit into our lives now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, we are starting a new series today, and the series is on visitations. And what we mean by that is that there are lots of visitations in the Christmas story. There are visitations of angels. And we're going to look at that, the angel visiting Mary. There are visitations of angels to shepherds. There's all sorts of visitations. And most importantly, the climax of it all is that God visits the world. We're going to be looking at that on Christmas morning. So right through everything, through contemporary carols next Sunday night, through everything we're going to do, that's going to be our theme, just thinking about visitations. And it couldn't be much more fitting as we think about visiting 2,300, wow, I hope some of you are going to help me, houses today. So it's going to be a visitation as we have been visited. I was thinking about little stories about people going out and visiting houses, and I thought this was quite a good one. Two church members were going door to door and knocked on the door of a woman who was not particularly happy to see them. She told them in no uncertain terms she did not want to hear their message and slammed the door in their faces. To her surprise, however, the door did not close and in fact bounced back open. Realizing one of these people must have their foot in the door, she tried again but really put some stink into it this time, slamming the door again with the same result, the door bouncing back again. Convinced these rude people were sticking their foot in the door, she reared back to give it an almighty slam that would teach them a lesson when one of them said, "Ma'am, before you do that again, you really need to move your cat." Sorry to all the cat lovers there. All right, I'm sure we'll not get that reaction, although we might. today of people slamming the door on their cats. Folks, as you look at that wee passage, there's just a few things I want to draw out of it. It's the story of an angel, Gabriel, a celestial angel, visiting Mary. And Mary, we believe, could have been maybe 13 years old in this episode when the angel visits her. And, you know, there's just a few things I want to look at. Let's look, first of all, at the greeting that this angel brings to Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Here's the first thing that I want to make you guys aware of. When we do any sort of visitation, when we do anything for the Lord that involves going out and meeting people, the Lord is already with them, all right? We don't visit a godless world. We visit a world where God is already at work. To give you an example of this, I went into Craigavon Hospital one day to visit a parishioner, and there was no chair beside the parishioner's bed, and they don't approve of you jumping up and sitting with them on their bed. So I went to get a chair, and I went across the room and I got a chair from beside this lady. Asked her, "Could I have the chair?" And she said, "Oh yes, you can have the chair, but do you know how to get to heaven?" Okay, seriously, do you know how to get to heaven? I says to her, "What?" I must be wearing a collar or something for a change. But so I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she said, "Well, I've asked my church leader how to get to heaven. And as you can see, I'm getting to the end of my life. How do you get to heaven?" So I took her through, you know, John 1 verse 12, where it said, "To those who received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And I just prayed with her, and she was in tears. She gave her life to the Lord. And I took the seat and sat beside one of the parishioners, and they were probably horrible to me, but it didn't matter, all right? Because we'd seen that. Now, the next time I went back there, she wasn't there. And I all I know was her first name, and I would imagine she's now with Jesus. But isn't it good that the Lord is already there? He's already there. And that's really important when we go out visiting people today, 2,500 people, that the Lord is already there in those homes and in those houses, and he's already drawn people to himself. The second wee idea I want to bring to you folks is that Mary is told that she is highly favored, that she's blessed among women. Highly favored and blessed among women. Do you know, there's a lot of people that seem to believe that this concept of being favored and blessed means that Mary was sinless, but the whole Bible stands out against that. That's not the reason why she was favored. She was sinful just like the rest of us. But the reason why she was favored is because God chose her. That's what being favored means. That's what means being blessed amongst women means, that God had chosen her. Do you realize the privilege of having been chosen by God? If you're chosen by God, you are blessed amongst women or blessed amongst men. It's being chosen that is the key. And do you believe, do you realize that God is favoring the people in our villages today because he has chosen that we would go out today and visit them? That is what being favored means. I remember a fella from Lisburn Cathedral, a guy called Chris from Liverpool, so I really loved him, all right? He was in a train station in Liverpool. He used to commute because he worked in Liverpool most of his week. And he was in a train station. Sorry, he was in an airport. And he got news that his wee daughter was really, really, really sick. Really sick. And here he was in the middle of this busy airport with this knowledge that his wee daughter wasn't well. And he was running around and he had to get a train and he was panicking. And somebody just came out of the crowd to him and said, "The Lord has told me that he loves you and he wants you to know that everything will be okay." Do you get that? A stranger from England, even more amazing, came up and was nice to him and told him that the Lord had given him a message. Now, is that not being favored? And that's what we get to do today. We get to go along to people and tell them on those wee cards that are floating around all over the place, we get to tell them that there's good news and it's for all people. And the Lord's already there, and then you're going to arrive, and this is going to happen together. And some people are just going to realize how favored they are. That's what we get to do today. The favor of God. And then there's something else involved in this story, and what we see is it's an angel. An angel, and the angel's name in this story is Gabriel. Now, the word in Greek, I'm really trying to impress you with my French accent here, is angelos, okay, for an angel. And it's used like 175 times in the New Testament, this word angelos. But it doesn't always refer to these celestial beings that come from heaven, because the word angelos means messenger, okay? Messenger. Now, in your story, if you're a Christian, I'm sure you have many messengers. Not many of us will have seen some bright, flashy, fancy angel, but we have probably experienced many messengers that brought to us the good news. And those messengers are so important. But John the Baptist is described as an angel in the New Testament, in the book of Luke. There's many messengers that aren't from heaven. Messengers who are just ordinary people. And today, you could be an angelos in somebody's story. You could be a messenger. Now, the angel in this story essentially carries three things. Gabriel carries, first of all, a greeting. We can all do that. What about you? How you doing? Then a do not fear. Do not fear. I always think it's interesting when people tell their wives or whatever that they look like an angel, because the first thing angels have to say is, don't be afraid. All right, I know I'm scary, but don't be afraid. I don't think it's that big a compliment. You look like somebody that would need to warn people not to be afraid. Anyway, greeting, don't be afraid, and then news. Okay? Now, the news that an angel brings is taking something that they know about God to someone else. All right? So Gabriel, when Zechariah doesn't accept the message, Gabriel says, hold on a second, Zechariah. I stand in the presence of God. That's what we do. We worship, we stay in the presence of God, we learn something about Him, and then we bring it out. You know what, folks? If you're sort of a person that maybe has loads of questions, that isn't quite fully there on their journey with God, and you think, am I good enough to actually do this today? If all you know about God is that He's a loving Father, bring that out with you. Bring that out with you. From the presence of God, bring a greeting, a reassurance, and some good news. You can do that. You can be angelic today. You can be an angelos today. And then there is a question in this passage. You see, the news that comes from the presence of God seems so incredible. Even if it's God loves you, people struggle to believe that. And when Mary receives this message that she is going to carry the Son of God in her womb, she asks a very sensible question, which is, how can this be since I'm a virgin? All right? And you know what, folks? When you go to somebody with news that has come from the presence of God, they nearly always have a question. They nearly always have a question. Or an objection. Or a reaction. And that's okay. Now, one day, I was watching the football in Thornley Drive in Lisburn, and there was a knock on the door, and Zara went and got the door. And what I could hear, because I turned the football down a little tiny bit, is it was a Jehovah Witness speaking to Zara, and I just thought, great, I'll sit here and listen to this, all right? And the Jehovah Witness obviously had a bit of a script, and he was flying through the script, and Zara was sort of like, oh yes, I do believe in Jesus. Oh yes, 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 no, I do. I think He's great, and I worship Him, and I live for Him, and all those sorts of things. And the Jehovah Witness was just so desperate to get through his script, he just literally ignored her. Okay, and he kept on saying things that she'd already said. You know, like she was saying, oh yes, we've had a baby and we just know the power and presence of God through seeing how all that happened and all. And he was just like, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, and just going through his script. But you see, we don't do that. You know, we listen to people. We allow them their objections, their questions. And you know, when we go out today with our good news to favored people, they might have a reaction to it, all right? Now, one of the reactions might be, you people are a bunch of hypocrites. There's somebody from St. Saviour's scratched my car. All right? You know, that might be the response. And if that is the response, Carlton's mobile number. You just give them Carlton's mobile number. And you say, the Lord bless you. Use that anytime. All right? Or, they might say a bunch of things. And you know what, folks? That's okay. That's okay. Or they might more likely say, why are you doing this? Giving me a hot chocolate? Why are you doing this? And you get to say, because, well, we just want to bless you. And we want to invite you to come and join us for some Christmas stuff. And they might say, well, I go along to the Presbyterian. And you say, well, that's fine. Have a hot chocolate and go for it. You know, all we're doing is bringing something of the good news. And the warmth and the beauty of Christmas and all that it means as we understand it through the Bible. You know, when Mary says this thing about how is this going to be since I am a virgin, it's fascinating how the angel answers it. First of all, he says, because the power of God's going to come on you. You know, if people who we go to visit don't know, they say, well, how does God love me? We can tell them the power of God. The power of God. Secondly, he uses testimony. He says, well, look at your cousin Elizabeth. You know, she's an old lady and she's barren, but yet she's pregnant. Okay, testimony. It might be, you know, if somebody says to you, God doesn't love me, you can give just a wee short word of testimony. Don't make it as long as this sermon, all right? But you can give a wee short word of testimony of how God feels about you, or a wee short testimony of healing. So there is, you know, the power of God, the story of what God's done in lives, and thirdly, there's a promise. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. So if there's a question, engage the question. And then finally, there's a response. Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. You know, there's a response. And sometimes the response might be to slam the door and kill the cat. All right? But sometimes the response will be yes. Now, wouldn't it be incredible if today, going out with these wee hot chocolates, it was an angel moment, a favored moment in the life of somebody as they go towards Jesus. Wouldn't that be good? There was a wee thing we used to do in Holy Week in Lisburn, and we delivered flyers to the whole estate of Hill Hall. Okay, and with those flyers, we handed out a wee cap leaflet. For anyone who doesn't know what cap is, you heard Ruth speaking about it there, Christians Against Poverty, and we handed in a wee cap leaflet as we were going. And somebody who is in the depths of despair in terms of their finances with a pile of bills, got this. They were delivered from their debt, and then they came to know Jesus, all on an Easter. It was great. And folks, imagine that you're a wee part of that story today, an angel that brings favor today. Imagine that by delivering a wee hot chocolate, you could deliver heaven to somebody. Imagine you could do that. Imagine. You know, there's been a bit of work done by a group called the Barna Group. Okay, they're a research group from England. And these statistics are from England, okay? But I think they should be transferable to here. 1 in 5 adults in England and 1 in 6 young people would want to speak about Jesus if a Christian would speak to them. Okay, 1 in 5 adults would love to speak about Jesus if a Christian would speak to them. 1 in 6 young people would love to speak about Jesus if a Christian would speak to them. And folks, here's what I believe. I believe that too often we say no on other people's behalf. I think there are people out there who would love to be invited to some Christmas events to hear something about the good news that is for all people. 1 in 5 wants to hear it, and there's nobody to tell them. Here's the thing, folks. How many is that out of 2,300? I was a maths teacher, but I don't know. All right? I was a maths teacher for a day in a primary school. But that's a lot of people that are desperate to hear if someone would tell them. And you know what, folks? If 4 out of 5 slam the door in your face and kill the cat, it's worth it. It's worth it. Because I don't like cats. I'm joking. It's a dazzy joke. Okay. I just want to finish with this. I just love it. From J. John, who's an evangelist. He says this: Jesus was born in a borrowed manger. He preached from a borrowed boat. He entered Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. He ate the Last Supper in a borrowed room. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Now he asks to borrow the lives of Christians to reach the world. If we do not go, then they are not reached by Jesus. Jesus was born in a borrowed manger, preached from a borrowed boat, entered Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey, ate the Last Supper in a borrowed room. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And now he asks to borrow the lives of Christians to reach the rest of the world. If we do not go, then they are not reached. We stand together. And folks, let's, as we stand, let's just close our eyes and let's just thank the Lord that he's already in the world. That the Lord is with the people that we are going to visit today. He's with them. Lord, we thank you that as you are with us, before that moment we stepped into relationship with you, you're with many, many people that we'll visit today. Let's just thank the Lord for his favor on our lives, that we are chosen. Chosen, not because we're sinless, but because he is good. Let's just praise him in our hearts for his grace and his favor. His favor. And let's thank him that he's favored our community so much today as to send us to smile. Let's thank him for angels. Let's thank him for the celestial ones, but also let's thank him for the ordinary ones with plastic bags full of hot chocolates. Let's thank him for the angels that are part of our story, and let's offer him ourselves as angels in someone else's. Let's thank him that he drew us in such a way that we responded with a yes. And let's believe that he could do the same today. And as we stand before him now, let's say to the one who borrowed a tomb, who borrowed a donkey, who borrowed a manger, who borrowed many, many things, let's say to him now that he might borrow us. Let's offer ourselves in view of God's mercy as living sacrifices. Let's ask him to use us to carry angelically the message of the good news that is for all people today. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.